BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast. I am Megan Robinson, joined once again by Eve Batoba and Justin Southwell. Guys, we are 1 week closer to kickoff.
Another 1 week at a time. You just got to take it 1 week at a time at this point in the summer. Slowly but surely, we will make it there.
Yeah, I'm just trying to keep myself distracted, you know, keep myself busy doing other things so I don't have to think about how far away football season still is. But, you know, it'll be here before we know it, hopefully.
I interviewed Chief. You guys remember Chief, right?
Yeah.
Chief. I interviewed him yesterday for a story I'm working on coming out later this summer. And he was like, yeah, we're back in it. We're ready to go. And I ran into Gary Calcagno, one of the strength coaches in the elevator.
Yeah. Coach G.
We're doing maxes today. A couple players hit over 300 on their cleans. So, guys, team is looking good. They're back at it. They're ready to go.
It's a big deal in the summertime whenever you can get the cowboy iron. That's what they called it, right, Justin? The cowboy iron.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Which is, you know, depending on the position that you play, you have to hit like a certain number for your bench, for your squat, for your clean, for, you know, whatever else it was.
I think it's those three, and they have to add up to be more than 1,050 pounds.
1,050. Yeah, that's what it was. And then you get the cowboy iron if you can get all those things. So I think this is around that time of the year where people are, you know, racking up those cowboy iron medals. So yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting.
We're getting there. I guess it's also kind of exciting that earlier this week, Oklahoma State launched a new athletics website, okstate.com, got a revamp. I was shocked when I went on earlier to research some things for this episode. And I'm just going to okstate.com to look at the roster, look at the schedule. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is different. Am I on the right website? So if you have not gone yet, go check it out for yourself. I have mixed feelings on it. I like change, but I was not expecting that. Although it makes it easier than ever to gain NIL access. And I do think that that's a really cool thing. If you go to the website, go to the top, there's an NIL tab. You can go to NIL home and there's the NIL marketplace.
Yeah, it looks like so Cowboy Football and OSU Athletics all together partnered with Open Doors. So whenever you click on the NIL marketplace, it takes you straight to their Open Doors affiliate and Open Doors, you know, market, I guess. But I'm right there with you, Meg. It seems it feels busy. You know, right when you click on the website, I thought it was going to be a little more simple, easier to navigate. But the UI experience isn't great. But yeah, you know, what do I know? I'm not a pro in that area.
I think y'all are just, you know, you're not agents of change. You like things to be all the same all the time. But, you know, I think if you just give it some time, spend a couple of hours on the website, you'll get used to it and say, yeah, you know what? I don't even remember the old one. It's kind of like whenever Facebook would make an update back in the day and everybody's like, oh, this update's trash. And then like a week later, everybody's like, I kind of like this update. It's cool.
I mean, yeah, you'll adapt. You'll end up, you know, coming along with the changes. But if it takes you a couple hours to have to figure things out, then it's probably not a good design.
Well,
but
I can't think of anywhere else that would be better spending a couple hours on, except for the OSU website. How about that?
The thing with Facebook, though, Justin, is that normally I would see it on Twitter before experiencing it myself. So you see other people complaining about the update on social media. So I am mentally prepared when I would go to Facebook. But when I went to okstate.com earlier today, I was not prepared and I thought that I was in the wrong place. So if you go to okstate.com for the first time in a couple days, you are in the right place. They just changed it. I do think I've been looking around at the NIL marketplace. And I was saying to you guys earlier, it reminds me a little bit of Cameo. And I do think it's kind of cool because it's sorted by teams. It has prices of athletes. So right now I think Dayton Fix is the highest person. He's starting at $92. For $92, Dayton Fix will record a shout out for you. So he can, for $166, he'll post on social media for you.
Yeah, I saw Jackson Wright, the wrestler, it looks like, is the most expensive athlete on the thing. $500 for a shout out.
Where are you seeing him? Because I'm on the wrestling page and I don't see him.
Yeah, I just type in his name and he'll show up.
They need to get this together.
Yeah, so he's a guy that has a large TikTok following. He has like almost 500,000 followers on TikTok, a whole bunch of social media activity, which, you know, has a lot of value in the actual NIL landscape. But I thought what was interesting, though, was that from what I saw, the second highest paid guy was, and correct me if I'm wrong, Alan Bowman?
Well, Dayton's 92, Bowman's 77.
Oh, is he? Okay, got you. So yeah,
Bowman's probably the highest football person.
Yeah, and I know last week we talked about, hey, is it, you know, are we for sure that he's going to be QB1, or do we know, do we not know? But I think that if he's going to be the highest ranked person on the football team, then it might be a pretty good indication that he's QB1. But, you know, who knows what information the coaches are divulging over to Open Doors for the marketplace. I don't even know how the prices are set, so I don't know how that whole thing is figured out.
If you guys could set a price for a shout out, a realistic price, what do you think you would charge?
$85, baby. Yeah, number 85. So, of course, you got to just dish out. I'm just kidding. It'd be more like $850. I'd be on the very low end. I love engaging with Oklahoma State fans. I'd probably do it for free, to be honest. But, hey, you know, Eve, I know you're going to charge $25. Go ahead and say it.
Nah, man. I'm looking at Brandon Whedon out here. So you have former players too, right? It's like Brandon Whedon's in the marketplace. He's over here charging like $59. $59 for a shout out over here. I'm definitely not going above 59, right? I'm no Whedon. To be honest, I'm pretty low maintenance. Talk to anybody for the low. $2. Give me $2, and I go ahead.
You got to value yourself a little bit, Eve. You know,
hey, I'm all about volume. You know, if I put $2, maybe I get 1,000 people that all want to come in. And
that's what I was thinking.
Also, you know, different ways to look at it. I said I wouldn't do because there are some players that are on there, some athletes across all sports for starting at $11, and I'm like, I would want more than $11, but 11 was my number, so it does feel kind of right. I think I might.
There you go. Yeah.
Or $11.11, because make a wish. It's good luck.
Hey, look, I think it's so interesting. It's like if you want Jackson to make an appearance at your practice or at your event, it's $1,000 minimum. And Brandon Whedon's at like $472. It's just so interesting this day and age that we live in, right, about how things are valued. But social media just has a lot of clout and a lot of pull these days.
Wow.
Just interesting because they're college kids, and I'm glad that they're getting paid for their appearances and they're able to do all of that, but it's also just they're college kids too, you know.
Yeah, but you only get to be a college kid for 4 years, so while you have this popularity, I think you squeeze as much of it as you can.
Oh, for sure. I'm not judging them. Capitalize all the time. I just think it's so interesting, you know, going to media days last week. I've been to SEC media days, I've been to Big Ten media days in the past. And the crowds of people that just kind of hang out waiting for a college kid's autograph is insane to me. And you know, people in Europe are like, it's college sports. Like, why are you freaking out? But for Americans, it's like, no, this is my team, especially if you're from Oklahoma, where there's not pro football here. It's you got to go to KC or you got to go to Dallas. It's like, no, this is my squad. This is my team. This is who I grew up watching. This is my number one team. So it's just interesting to me, not good, bad, but I just think it's really interesting that they're college kids and people love them.
Yeah. 4 years of college, unless you're Alan Bowman, and in which case you're going to be hanging out for a little while longer. Perry Ellis of Oklahoma State. So this is crazy, but I think he pointed out in one of his interviews that Joe Burrow had won a national championship at LSU at the time he was still at Texas Tech. And he's since moved on to be for the Cincinnati Bengals going to the Super Bowl. And he's still in college. So
yeah, he's still in college and on his third team since then. It's so crazy.
Might as well stick around if you're going to get paid.
Might as well, man.
Is Bowman the oldest player in college football?
Ooh, I bet there's probably an Australian punter somewhere out there that's about 38 years old getting his freshman year in right now.
That was my other guess, that it would be I thought Bowman was born in the 90s. No, he's only 23. So he's
2000.
I heard someone say that he was 24, but no, I just looked. He's not a 90s baby, but
it's so crazy, man. We keep getting older and these college students just stay the same age. And it's it's so crazy.
I don't like to think about it.
Over here, fanboying over somebody born in 2003.
You weren't even alive during like some major life event.
9/11. Like you weren't even around.
It's like, what?
That's wild.
Meanwhile, I was in eighth grade. But I digress. I digress. But yes, if you have not already, check out the new okstate.com. Book your favorite OSU athletes for your new next event today. We have noticed, but in some recent episodes, we have seen your comments. We have answered some in the past. We wanted to get back to a fan mailbag today to answer some questions that you guys have asked us over these past few episodes. We do notice you. We do appreciate you asking. So let's just get right to it, guys. This is from Garth Still 7665 on YouTube. He asked, which new Big 12 team are you most excited to play?
Interesting. Well, you know what? I think when you see that our game against UCF has been sold out and you know UCF has a huge fan base, right? One of the largest student bodies in the country. It's easy to get excited about that, right? It feels like, okay, what are they about, you know? And on the internet, you've seen some of the things that they kind of get angry about, calling them Central Florida. So, you know, it seems like, you know, you're just kind of getting your trash talk ready and getting it prepared. I don't know about y'all, I love watching football games on Twitter, like along with Twitter, you know, like we're all watching it
live together. Tweeting the games.
Live tweeting the games is so much fun, man. Like with all of OSU Twitter being involved. So I think UCF could be interesting, but there's one university that I think their uniqueness, their history, the people that I've ever met that have gone to this university. I think this is probably the one I'm looking forward to the most is BYU. Like BYU it's just such a unique school in their own right. So I'm excited about that experience. I know it's going to be at home this season, but excited for the following season whenever we go out there to BYU.
Yeah, for me, I think I'm going to go with Cincinnati for homecoming because they get to experience Stillwater for the first time, and it's going to be homecoming, the first matchup of any of the newcomers. So just that anticipation, I think, surrounding that game is going to be just lit. And then, of course, they were most recently out of these last four teams in the college football playoff. So there's a little bit of recent history of them being on the national level. And I think that that's obviously still relevant, even without their head coach returning. I know a lot of guys have transferred out since then. But, hey, you make it to the playoff, but you're still on people's minds. So I like that aspect of it.
And they've produced some really good NFL players recently. Right. The recent defensive player of the year, rookie defensive player of the year, Sauce Gardner. Don't forget Travis Kelce comes from the University of Cincinnati. Like they got some dogs for whatever reason. Like they tend to attract some pretty dang good talent.
Justin stole my answer. I mean, there's only four teams to choose from. So
right, yeah.
It's overlap. Yeah. But I also said Cincinnati for the same reason, America's greatest homecoming. Last year was my first homecoming experience. My first year in Stillwater, there was no homecoming because of COVID.
Yeah.
The second year in Stillwater, I had COVID the week of homecoming and was so sad. I hosted a show at Fountain Dying. 2 days later, I tested. I was like, I'm so sad. I was waiting for it for over a year. And last year was my first year getting to really experience homecoming. And it was, I watched the game with Justin's family. I crashed their tailgate.
Yeah.
But the walk around, everything's an experience like no other. And I think what better way to welcome a team to the Big 12 than beating them at your homecoming, you know? Like,
yeah,
of course.
Hey, welcome to the conference.
Welcome to the Big 12.
Yeah. And I think for a school like Cincinnati where, you know, I've never been to a game in Cincinnati, so I can't say, but just like that Big 12, like that is the epitome of college football atmosphere. So I think that's going to be a really fun game for any Cincinnati fan to come to as well, just to experience that environment. Mm-hmm. And Eve, you said BYU. I'm more excited to play them at BYU than at home because I think just that backdrop is unbelievable. So who knows when we'll play them there, because we don't know how the scheduling is going to shake out. But Cincy at home this year, and overall BYU in at BYU. That's
yeah, awesome. It's crazy. I think during homecoming, you know, room rates end up doubling. You get a minimum of 80,000 people coming in town for a homecoming. I think on average, it's like 100,000 people show up annually to homecoming. It truly is mm-hmm. America's greatest homecoming celebration. So I think I'm going to steal y'all's answer, Cincinnati for homecoming.
No, you can't. You can't. No, you had your
answer. Oh, I can't. All right.
No, that's cool. You can change your opinion. Even.
Right, you're welcome back here.
Hey, I know we were. Hey, look, man, I'm on the transfer portal when it comes to these mailbag questions. All
right. Yeah. On the subject of Big 12 programs and transfer portal, Eve, if you could play for any other Big 12 program, who would it be and why?
Man, y'all not going to like my answer, y'all.
Are you going to say OU?
Heck no. I would never say OU.
Okay. No, I'm just confirming.
I feel like, by the way, before you answer, I feel like OU and Texas should probably be scrapped from the list, or no?
They are. You know what? Let's make that a thing right now. They're scrapped from the list because they're gone next year. Because
so I feel like Eve was probably about to say Texas.
1,000% was going to say Texas.
Okay, yeah. So you're going to have to come up with somebody else now. They're gone.
And I had all my reasoning for why I wanted to pick Texas. All right. So if I have to pick somebody else, come back to me. Now I got to give it some
time. I'd play for Texas to get fashion tips from Coach Sarkisian's wife. She is freaking stunning and has amazing sideline fashion, but
she's dope.
I just know Eve too well. I knew that, I knew that answer was coming. For me, I would choose Kansas State.
I knew it.
And this is kind of like a recent thing too, because I think whenever I was growing up, I had a natural draw toward Texas Tech. They had the same high school colors as me at Westmore. They had Wes Welker playing receiver. Of course, I loved their style of offense being the air raid. It would make sense for a receiver like me to go to Texas Tech. But recently, just kind of like going through the last decade or so, I've just noticed that Kansas State has such similar vibes to Oklahoma State. And of course, y'all know my love for Oklahoma State. So, you know, they've got that family atmosphere, cool uniforms, pretty cool stadium. I think I'd have to pick Kansas State.
So you're just going with the school that reminds you the most of Oklahoma State. I ain't mad.
Of course.
I ain't mad. Yeah.
My answer is I don't have a good reason for my answer other than it's the closest school to home, Cincinnati. It's very close to the East Coast.
Closer than West Virginia? I guess, yeah. Northeast. It's a little bit further north.
I think Cincy and West Virginia are kind of similar. I don't know the drives off the top of my head. West Virginia might be slightly closer. However, Cincinnati is also a major city, where Morgantown's more of a college town. And when I was looking at colleges many moons ago, my big thing was I wanted to go to school in a city. I didn't consider any school not in a city. I went to school in downtown Boston. So I feel like I would just thrive in the Cincinnati city environment while also being a hour flight from home.
How come you didn't develop a Boston accent?
I
just weren't there long enough, maybe.
No, I mean, I talk very intentionally. If I'm home for long enough, my Philly accent comes out, and you probably hear it in certain words, but I speak very intentionally. I was talking to someone else from Philly the other day, and he was like, "Oh, you're in Stillwater." I was like,
Stillwater.
Yeah, I'm in Stillwater.
Wow.
Nice.
All right, so circling back, I automatically ruled out TCU and UCF. I don't want any school that's in and Houston. I don't want any big city or metropolitan area type schools. After going to school in Stillwater, Oklahoma, there's really something special about being in a college town in a small town, right? So process of elimination, those schools are out. Even though I was going to pick Austin, Texas, that doesn't make any sense, but it's for reasons that are separate from that. I gotta go with the University of Kansas.
Wow.
I think I'll go University of Kansas, man. I think
I considered them.
Yeah, you know, you got Lawrence, Kansas. It has that type of feel, small town, great basketball program, right? Like we get to
can I just pump the brakes real fast? They have Adidas uniforms. Are you really gonna go to a school with an Adidas uniform? Process of elimination probably should keep those wheels spinning.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that. Automatically out. Automatically out. Yeah, Kansas is out. Would never go to Texas Tech. I'm not wearing.
Who was left, Eve? Who could you really play for?
I got to go with West Virginia or something.
Are you going to go to BYU or something? Like
West Virginia. They got a good backdrop. That's
not going to come be my roommate at K-State.
Yeah, no Adidas schools, man. Sorry, Cincinnati, you're out. I think they're Adidas too, right?
I think they might be. They switched to Nike recently.
Oh, did they?
But it's like through some third-party website. I don't remember the whole story, but I saw their new uniforms at Big 12 Media Days, and they look kind of thrown together, not great. Mm. They used to have Under Armour.
Yeah, I'm seeing Under Armour right now.
And they were pretty unique. And back in my day, okay, whenever we were playing on NCAA 2006 or whatever it was, they used to have those claw stripes on the pants, and I always thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's probably corny now looking at it, at it, but hey,
but it was cool. The things that we thought were clean back in the day are so trash now, whenever you look at that. So trash. But yeah, I wouldn't pick Cincinnati anyway because they're too big of a metropolitan area. I love the college town feel. So yeah.
I just don't know.
I want to burn some couches in Morgantown.
Wow. Wow. WV for Eve. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was thinking BYU, you know. You've got the Y on your helmet and everything, but
I don't think I would have any fun at BYU.
All right.
my fun experience at Oklahoma State was a major factor for why it's so memorable.
I told you rules at BYU. If you live a normal college life, then
it's different.
It's different.
Yeah. So I remember
this is what these kids are going through in their recruiting process, trying to figure out where they want to go. I mean, to me, it's clear Oklahoma State is where you need to go.
I agree, man. Like, it's really no contest, you know, when it comes to these. But, you know, I'm a little biased.
Just a little bit.
Well, next question, guys. We've established which program you want to play for. Which coach, other than Mike Gundy — Mike Gundy is not allowed to be an answer in this because I feel like he'd be the obvious answer — but besides Mike Gundy, which coach in the Big 12 do you respect most?
Yeah, this is a little bit tougher, but I think with it being so early, it's hard to know for sure. But my gut right now is saying Joey McGuire down in Lubbock. You can just kind of tell he's got a passion for football, wants to be the best. Tech beat Texas and OU in the same season for the first time in school history, and he's established a top 25 recruiting class. So I mean, just respect for what you're able to do in that short amount of time. That's clutch. Even though, I mean, I feel like maybe an easier answer would have been Klieman at Kansas State. Of course, I've already got the K-State bias going. But I wanted to switch it up. Of course, he's won a Big 12 championship early in his tenure. But yeah, I'm gonna roll with Joey McGuire.
Yeah, got a lot of respect for Joey. Right, he really got it out the mud. Even whenever you throw in his high school coaching experience, I mean, you know, Crowley High School, Cedar Hill High School, he was out there with some, you know, with some dogs. And I'm pretty sure he has like four state championships in the high school ranks. So how can you not respect that? Respect that. I got to say, for me, Dave Aranda down at Baylor. I mean, you're taking a guy who is one of the most respected coaches in the whole industry already, right? He had a very strange start to his head coaching career, you know, terrible 2-7 debut during the, you know, the COVID-19 season. And then, boom, he rebounds by taking Baylor over to the Big 12 championship game, top five finish in 2021, 12-2. And then just everything that he's been able to do from what he inherited with a program that seemed like it was getting the death sentence, you know, from what had happened at Baylor, and for him to be able to bring it back to life, how could you not respect that? And it seems like all his players really like him as well. And how could you not like a guy who, when it seems like you're, you know, the guys that you coach rally around you, it just makes it that much easier to think that, okay, it's easy to respect an individual.
Mm-hmm.
This question was hard for me because there were so many good options. Just looking at the list of Big 12 coaches, I'm like, I really like Joey McGuire. I really like Aranda. I thought about Lance Leipold up in Kansas because what he's done for that program, he's turned it around in a season. He signed a long-term contract. He wants to build something at Kansas. And Kansas is, up until last year, it was not a football school. So I was like, who do I go with? I had two. My first one seemed very obvious. Sonny Dykes, after what he did, TCU last year was unranked. They had no expectations, and he leads that team to a national championship. So that was really impressive. The caveat with Sonny Dykes was that, I don't want to say a fluke, but was that a lot of dug in? Like, what will TCU, I think what TCU does this year will sort of indicate where Sonny Dykes ranks among Big 12 coaches. But my final answer, I don't know if you guys are really going to like it. I really like Matt Campbell at Iowa State. I think he's genuinely just a good person. I think he cares a lot about his players. And the main reason why I chose him is because he's had offers to coach at bigger programs. I think it was after their 2017 season, 2018 season. I forget which school it was, but a bigger Power Five school offered him. It seemed like that was the right move for him, and he turned it down. He said recently in an Athletic article that the last 3 years have tested him, but he's not looking just to jump to another program just to get those wins and get the title. He wants to go to a program that does it the right way. And it's harder to find those in this day and age with NIL and player deals and everything. So I think he cares about the players more than anything. And that's just something that you don't see from a ton of coaches these days.
In fact, I'm pretty sure that it was the Detroit Lions.
It was NFL. Yes.
That was like an 8-year deal. The majority of coaches are taking that because they want to, you know, leave the college ranks. It's a little easier of a schedule in the NFL, but hey, respect to him for staying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that answer a lot more than Sonny Dykes. Like I would pick, I mean, I don't want to say I don't like him. He rubbed me the wrong way during the OSU game, the way he was yelling at the refs about how he was going with the substitution rule.
Yeah.
Just seemed like he was complaining a lot. And I do think that he kind of lucked into it, like you were talking about, Meg, like inferring that a little bit, because Max Duggan wasn't the starting quarterback at the beginning of the year. And I think that it just happened to be that he flipped a switch and was a gamer, and he benefited from that. But now he's going to be able to benefit from all those wins, being in the national championship, being in the DFW Metroplex to be able to, you know, get some recruits in there. But
Texas boy.
Yeah, I just don't feel that. Like I would definitely pick Matt Campbell over Sonny Dykes.
I will say though, I think Matt Campbell's a little overrated, especially when you look at his record with Brock Purdy and without Brock Purdy.
The question isn't who is the most underrated coach. The question was who you respect.
How can you respect somebody? Well, never mind. You know what?
Question. Because I can respect him as a coach and for sticking out with his team and turning down the NFL and turning down bigger programs because he wants to build something at Iowa State. Because a lot of coaches follow the money, and he hasn't been doing that. And he's admitted these last three seasons have been hard on him. So I think this year is going to be huge for Matt Campbell, and they need to make a bowl game if he wants to keep his job. But I respect who he is as a coach and how he cares about his players.
That's a good answer.
Yeah,
and I don't necessarily know that they get rid of him if they don't make a bowl game, because I don't know if Iowa State could attract a better coach than Matt Campbell. But
like a great season.
We got to see how it unrolls.
A great season for Iowa State is 7-5. And if he can get them 7-5 like consistently, then you know he might be there for a lifetime.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But Matt Campbell is my final answer. That's who I am going with. So this is sort of a two-parter. Guys, if you could change one rule on the field, what would it be? And then also off the field, but not necessarily a rule, but just something that's a college football thing that is off field. So is it scheduling? Is it recruiting? Is it NIL? That type of thing.
Yeah. On the field, I think, you know, I'm a DB. Yeah. Y'all know I'm a DB. So if somebody is, you know, going to commit I might be conflating it with the NFL rule. If you get a pass interference, it's not a spot foul
in college, but 15 yards is still ridiculous. Right.
It's I don't think so.
For pass interference?
Yeah, for pass interference. I think 15 yards is fair. I guess the rule that I actually would change though.
15.
It's 15.
That's 15.
Okay. Yeah, if it's beyond 15 yards, then it's 15 yards. Anything beyond that, you know, spot. Man, whenever it comes to the targeting rule, I mean, that targeting rule has such a significant impact on games lately. I mean, you're taking some of the best players out. Like, there are some things that are clearly just unintentional, right? I don't like that you get suspended for the following week's game, or that you have to sit out a half or anything like that. But yeah, you know, if somebody, you know, does a helmet to helmet or it looks like it's targeting and then it doesn't seem like it was intentional, everything looks worse in slow-mo, by the way. So I don't even like going and looking at the replay and trying to determine, okay, was this intentional? Yeah, okay, like maybe, you know, have them sit out for like the remainder of that series, but bring them right back in. Like it gets a little ridiculous. Targeting has an enormous impact on football games in college football.
I'm piggybacking off of Eve's targeting thing because I didn't have one, but it just sparked an idea in my head, and that there be a time limit on reviewing the targeting play. Because to me, if you can't determine if it's targeting in 30 seconds, then move on. It's the same at the NFL when they review a play for 10 minutes, it seems. It's like if you can't decide that that's conclusive evidence that it happened or didn't happen, then you shouldn't be able to overturn the call. You should be able to determine it fairly quickly. So there should be a time limit on reviewing targeting.
Yeah, and I'll just go ahead and say my answer because that is what it is. It's instant replay. I think we're spending way too much time looking at instant replay throughout the game, and it takes away from the rhythm of play. I mean, everybody knows the referees aren't perfect, but they need to be good enough that we can trust their call the majority of the time. And if a coach wants to challenge a call, I have no problem with that. I think there can be strategy involved with that, like weigh your options on the spot to know if this is worth it for me to challenge it or not. But man, a review almost like every other play. I don't remember what game it was that it feels like it's OSU games. Like these are the ones we're watching, yeah. But why are we turning games into like four and a half hours because Texas of all these
Tech.
Reviews?
Texas
Tech. Oh first yeah, exactly.
Hour, I'm like,
yeah, that first half was so long.
Bro, I was exhausted at halftime. I was like, I'm just ready to go. It was so bad. Yeah,
not to mention the game itself was an emotional roller coaster.
It was.
The longest roller coaster ever.
Yeah. Well, my off-field thing that came to me when we were chatting pre-show is, this is based on a conversation I had with Coach Gajewski. I'm aware he's a softball coach, but he said something, and I think that this is the rule that I would enact off the field, and that there's a mandatory dark period between the end of college football season. So like the day after the national championship until like through January or a week or 10 days, whatever time limit you want. There's a mandatory dark period where coaches cannot do any recruiting, no contact. Basically you're required to take off during that time. And I say that because I talked to Coach Gajewski about a week after they were eliminated from the Women's College World Series. He's like, oh, I'm already in next season. I've already been recruiting. I was out for a week. And he's like, I just want time off. But you can't take time off because you're going to miss the boat on a recruit. So I think if they implemented a mandatory dark period where coaches had to take off, could not contact recruits, then there's not this sort of, oh no, I need to get out there before this other school swoops in and steals the guy that I want. And it's an equal playing field because no coach is allowed to contact anybody. Protect their mental health.
Yeah, I feel for the coaches. I definitely feel for the coaches.
I do feel for them in that aspect, but at the same time, like it is, they're college kids. And you got to know where you're going before you got to enroll in January. So if you miss that window to transfer, I just don't see a way around it unless you just back everything up if you want to have some kind of a dark period where it's just too fast of a turnaround because you got finals, you got bowl season, and then portal. Like it's tough.
Doesn't have to be January, but then after National Signing Day, what's that, the first Wednesday in February, after that, do it. Like or in the summer. There is a week or two period over the course of 52 weeks in a year where college football could go dark. I don't know what, I would have to look at an exact calendar of when people need to be where. I couldn't tell you, but I don't think that you're going to lose anything if you are not doing anything from July 1st to July 10th. And that's coaches.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag depending on which coaches you talk to. Some people think that this calendar is the best that it's ever been, right? I think Chip Kelly is one of the people that actually talks about how he actually is a big fan of this calendar. I remember the old calendar. Mike Gundy was actually one of the ones that spoke out about it the most when he wanted to change to, I think, the format that it is right now. But one of the biggest elements to factor in, of course, is the academic calendar. Teams on the West Coast, they're running on a quarter-based system, quarterly, and seems like everybody else does semesters. and, you know, just how everybody is able to actually go in and enroll in the classes. Like, that's the best thing that works for everybody across the country. And to that same point, that actually is what leads to my rule change that I would change off the field, which is, I think that college football needs to be governed differently than the rest of the sports, than every other sport, to be honest with you. I think that we need our own commissioner that, you know, pretty much dictates things its own way. I think that it's, you know, it's a little bogus that the SEC can, you know, only play 9 opponents in a season if they wanted to, like 9 conference opponents in a season if they wanted to. Well, scratch that. I'm saying that wrong. 8 conference opponents and schedule one of the non-conference games in the middle of the season. And you're just like, what in the world is going on over here? Like, Coach Saban has figured out exactly how to, like, he's pretty much hacked the scheduling to where he never has to play a big game at the away game. Typically it's a neutral site, right? So he does like all these tricks and all these maneuvering, and he can do that because he's in the SEC, and the Big 12 can do certain things because they're in the Big 12, and the Pac-12 just operates differently. I'm like, yo, can we just have some consistency across the board? And that's what I would change.
Man, Saban is a master at some of that stuff. He's kind of like Gundy in the way that he's, you know, able to manipulate some of the whenever you're going off the field.
Substitution rules. Yeah.
I've got transfer portal on my mind. People are transferring mid game. That's how bad it's gotten.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Transferring mid game.
I mean,
like Vernon Davis, whenever, not
Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
It was Vernon Davis. Didn't Vernon Davis just retire mid game?
Vernon Davis was a tight end, right? Or am I?
Vontae
Davis at halftime just saying, yo, I'm out of here. He said, we suck. I ain't coming back out.
Man, I hope we never have to deal with that.
No respect.
I don't really know. I don't think I have really an off-the-field rule that I would change, but I do think that I saw a tweet that kind of got a lot of likes that was talking about there should be a rule against transferring twice. Like, you shouldn't be able to transfer twice. And I don't even know what that solves. I feel like the majority of people are only transferring once, and people aren't tracking where they're going after that. Like,
Bowman.
We are benefiting from that rule. So I don't know what they're trying to say there.
Yeah.
To me, that's circumstantial, because I think you see some kids where it's like, oh, I'm transferring and I don't like my situation, I'm transferring again. But if you transfer to a school because of a coach and that coach leaves, you should then be allowed to also transfer. But I think that it does get a little wild, wild westy when people are like, I don't like it.
Yeah. There's a guy this week who transferred from Alabama to Georgia, and now it was just reported that he's no longer on the Georgia football team. And he's transferring again. And just like, what in the world is going on right now?
Yeah. Can't transfer twice, then he would be
in the same offseason.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. Yeah.
This next question comes from Cowboy Tay. I'm going to pull up the actual – I don't have the full – I'm going to pull up the full thing on my phone so I can read what he wrote to give context. So Cowboy Tay said on YouTube, call me crazy. I like it when we play as many local kids as possible if they are the best. In a plausible scenario, who are the most likely Oklahoma kids to get starting reps this year? Presley is the easy one on offense, Oliver and Daniels on defense for sure. But who else do you think has starter playmaker potential? So thank you, Cowboy Tay, for that question that stumped both Justin and Eve. So I will tell you who I think has the potential. And that is Jaden Bray from Norman, Oklahoma. He was redshirted most of last season due to injury. He played in 12 games as a freshman in 2021. I think he has a chance to really make an impact on offense, especially considering the wide receiver room saw a lot of turnover this offseason. So Jaden Bray, I think it's also that we need him to step up to take some pressure off of Brennan Presley on the offense. And then the other guy, I don't think he's going to make an impact this year, but over his career, I'd love to see it happen, is of course Gabriel Rodriguez, the brother of beloved Malcolm Rodriguez. So I'd love to see him over his career emerge as a key guy for Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I think, for me, it's the left tackle, Dalton Cooper. I thought that we played pretty bad at left tackle last season. So here's a guy who's transferring in and coming from Texas State. He's coming from Texas State, but he is from Prague Is that how you say it? Is it Prague or Pragu? It's Prague, Oklahoma, right? Justin, our residential Justin, Oklahoma.
Is it Prague?
It's just, it is what it is.
Justin, I'm highly disappointed right now, bro.
It's just so weird. Like, I feel like I should know because I know, like, Miami instead of Miami.
Yeah.
And Durant instead of Durant. But, you know, I don't know. It could be either one of those. It could be something that you didn't even pronounce. So I'm not going to say one way or another because I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully that's the case. Hopefully he doesn't get benched or anything like that. Hopefully our run scheme is going to be on point, as we talked about in the last episode. And here's a guy going into his redshirt senior season. And, you know, you just hope the best for him and that he's actually able to go back into his hometown and get some more of them boys to come to Oklahoma State.
Nice.
Yeah. Look, there's nothing like, let me just say this. There's nothing like being in a state where there is no NFL team and you can be like the place where everybody wants to go, right? If you're in the University of Georgia, people love UGA. Like, you don't want to go, like, you grow up loving UGA, which, by the way, I still don't know how they lost Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence to Clemson, both of them, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. But LSU, if you grow up in the state of Louisiana, you love Louisiana State University. Like, other states, other schools almost don't even bother trying to recruit Louisiana because they know if you're a good player in the state, you're going to LSU. And I would love for that to be the case in Oklahoma. It's like, hey, if I grew up in Oklahoma and I'm a great player in Oklahoma, there's nowhere I want to go other than Oklahoma State.
That's awesome. Well, Meg, you did have my answers. Of course, I had Jaden Bray on my radar. Forgot that he was from Oklahoma, so my bad. I love my local guys. But I think part of the reason was because he was number 85 and then switched numbers on me. So staying a little salty with that.
He's five now, right?
He's number five.
That's a great number. Five is a great number.
Yeah. Reggie Bush, man. That's every time. That is a good number. And of course, Rodriguez. I mean, dude's destined for greatness. So I'm excited about that. Now, one guy that I will say who is, of course, on the radar now because he is number 85, Tyke Anders. And I hope I'm pronouncing that first name correctly. But he's from Enid, Oklahoma, and he was coached by legendary wide receiver Rashawn Woods. So I think that he has great potential. If it's not this year, I'd understand. He's coming in 6'1", 185. You know, get a year of body by glass under you, and we'll see you in the future.
Love
and
it.
Still, please rep number 85 for me. Make me proud.
We'll see. We'll see who the standout is. We've talked about who we think will make which Oklahoma native players can be standout stars this year. But guys, who do you think? We're looking forward already to the 2024 NFL draft because we love to predict these things far too early. But which Oklahoma State player do you think will get drafted first or drafted highest in 2024?
I got to look at the value of positions and everything, all things considered. I think Colin Oliver. Colin Oliver probably ends up being that guy. I think especially if he can get used the way that he was getting used his freshman year, where he is rushing the passer more. You know, a DB's best friend is that edge rusher, right? So I'm rooting for Colin big time, but I think he ends up being the guy.
I'm going to go with the other number five, and that is Kendall Daniels. I think he might end up as
– he won't be eligible.
He might be the best safety in Oklahoma State history when it's all said and done. So
he won't be eligible in 2024, my guy.
He won't.
He's only a sophomore.
Yeah.
Really?
This is his
sophomore. That's how good he is. All right. So obviously, I mean, the answer is Colin Oliver, right? It has to be.
I also said Colin Oliver just because you saw Will Anderson from Alabama go three. Now, do I think that Colin Oliver will be a top 10 draft pick? I don't know. He could have an incredible season. I genuinely do not know. But you see, if you do have a player like Will Anderson, the Texans traded up to snag him. So I think if Colin Oliver can put 2022 behind him, not that he had a bad season, but 2021, he had a phenomenal, phenomenal freshman year. And if he can kind of pick up from that and get after the quarterback more and make more, not more of an impact, but just be one of those like hard hitters on defense, I think that he could get drafted very, very high overall.
This is a
dream scenario here, but if Elijah Collins ends up just as a stud, even if it's like as a supplemental running back, I think we're going to be running the ball a lot this year. I think that Ollie Gordon is definitely RB1, but if Elijah Collins comes out and they're a 1-2 punch in the same kind of breath as what you'd see from, you know, back in the day with Lindell White, Reggie Bush type of scenario, then hey, Elijah Collins, you know, go get that NFL money, you know, make us proud for you know, bringing in Oklahoma State, former Michigan State Spartan. So maybe we can get you up there with the Lions with old Malcolm. Just get a Oklahoma State team rolling up there.
A sleeper could be Justin Wright, man. Like Justin Wright, I think over the past couple of seasons, our linebackers have been getting freaking drafted, right? Like that year that Malcolm Rodriguez got drafted, another guy went to the what's the dude's name?
Kevin Harper.
Yeah, Harper that went to the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And I was there at his pro day. He was the most impressive. Well, no, Malcolm was the most impressive. He was the second most impressive person at that pro day. And it was actually pretty close. It was pretty dang close. But those two put on a show. So if, you know, if he can bring some of his 100 tackles that he had last year at the University of Tulsa over to Oklahoma State, then he can rise up the draft charts for sure.
We will revisit this question later in the season because obviously the other caveat with the draft is draft order and team needs. So that could obviously shift the, right. But if you're a stud, you're a stud and you're going to go high anyway. So we will see if our tune changes throughout the 2023 Cowboy football season.
I hope it's Brandon Presley, to be honest with you. I hope Brandon Presley is like a first round pick.
I mean, we were all surprised that Tyler Lacy was the first Cowboy off the board. Well, not the first, but that he went as high as he did. I personally was surprised that he went in the fourth round because he was not projected that high. So who knows who the surprise is going to be this year?
Well, from what I've heard, well, of course, what Eve said with the linebackers, you know, got to give shout out Joe Bob Clements for developing the linebackers. But being in that new Nardo defense, we could see some vicious stuff. I want to see it. So let's go.
All right, guys. Last question from the mailbag. This came out this week from the SEC Media Days that their 2024 Media Days for the first time ever will be held in Texas, Dallas, Texas, to be exact, in the Omni Hotel, I believe it was. Yes. Omni Hotel in Dallas will host SEC Media Days 2024 as a nice little welcome to their newest members, OU in Texas. How do you feel about this decision from the SEC?
Justin, did we stay at the Omni Hotel for the Cotton Bowl whenever we were? I know we stayed there for the Heart of Dallas Bowl for sure, but you weren't there.
It might have been the Gaylord.
It wasn't the Gaylord.
So it was the Omni? Okay. Had to have been.
There. Great hotel. Definitely
a great hotel.
Should they be in Texas?
I don't like it. I don't like them being in our backyard. I don't know what they're trying to do, but I don't know. It's going to be Texas and OU's first year. They're coming in there. Everybody want to be in Texas, of course. But look, I'm territorial. I think I'm just territorial. Like, get the SEC off of our freaking area. Like, ever since Texas A&M went over there, and now they're getting another school over there. I'm just like, yo, can y'all just stay in the Southeast and let Texas be Texas? I don't know. It's weird for me. I don't like it.
I have no opinion. I just don't care. Just being real, like it's Oklahoma State. It's Big 12, I guess. See you later. SEC, you later. OU in Texas, and y'all can do whatever you want, wherever you want. I don't care.
I don't like it. I agree with Eve. Get off of our turf. Also, like, poor A&M, they're a Texas school, and they did not get this welcome when they moved into the SEC. So, like, if I'm A&M, I'm feeling a little slighted by this, but what do I know?
Yeah, and I think that year, too, Texas A&M had the highest grossing football program in the country. Yeah. So, yeah, they really didn't get any love.
I'm never going to feel bad for Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, me neither.
Fair. But before we go, I want to say a quick best of luck to the U.S. Women's National Team. World Cup starts this week. So excited. So excited. Going to have to set my DVR because it's on at like 4 a.m. sometimes here, and I'm not up at 4 a.m., but I will set my DVR and watch it when I wake up around 5:36. So excited. Go USA. Thank you for listening to another episode.
Well, hold on. Before we close it out, you were talking about USA over here. If, you know, we talk about Bet Online is our sponsor after all. You can get the women's national team, I think, at like plus 250 to as a future bet to win it all. So pretty good value right there for those of y'all who care. I actually went and put mine in today, and I was just like, yep, we're going to – yeah, let's just make sure that we get that squared away real quick.
Go place your bets for the women's national team. And this episode of Believe in OK State was presented by Bet Online, so do it through them. Thank you all for listening. Like, share, subscribe, comment, follow. Send more questions. We'll do more of these mailbag things. We like coming up with answers to your questions. And of course, go Pokes.
Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.